Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence here today. Lord, with all the commotion that is outside, Lord, we ask that your peace would be here in our own heart today, Lord. And Lord, that you, as you search our heart, would find in us, Lord, a place of your dwelling. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Do I need this? My goodness. Not used to holding one of these things. This is not a microphone. It's a recorder. Yeah, I don't have one of these back where our home fellowship is. I don't have one of these. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the Lord is looking for purity in our heart. How many of you believe that the Lord is looking at your heart today? Do you believe that He can read your thoughts? Amen. You know, the kingdom of God is so simple. Sometimes we make it complicated with religious things, but it's so simple. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. It's so simple, isn't it? I want to give you a couple of examples that come to my mind. Things that happened in America a long time ago when God was stirring the people up. Amen.
Amen.
About 150 years ago in America, I'm estimating the time. There was a period of time called the Great Revival. Great Awakening. I'm not sure what the real name was. But Americans, it was before there were any cars or this type of thing. And people lived mostly in rural places. And they had what they used to call brush arbor meetings. People would kind of gather in the forest or a place like the forest. And the word would get out that there was going to be a meeting of God's people. And so people would travel for days to come to these meetings. And they would come with a heart ready to hear what God was saying to them. They would come ready to repent and ready to change their ways. meeting. It was a meeting out in like the forest. People came with horses and they came and they camped and they lived at this place for several weeks at a time. And the preacher that was going to preach that day, he came out into the midst of the people. And he stood for a long time, very quiet, very silent, waiting for a word from the Lord as to what he should say. It was quiet. Very quiet. He just stood. People were wondering. Does the man have a word from the Lord? But he was quiet. After a while, he looked up. He saw the branch of a big tree above him. He got down and he jumped with all his might. With both hands, he grabbed the branch of the tree. Just quiet. Nothing to say. And he hung. His face began to turn red. It was very clear that the man could not hold on much longer. Finally, he dropped. He fell. He got back up. And this was his message. If you don't hold on to God, you will fall into hell. That's all he preached. And he said nothing more. People began to come weeping and crying out to the Lord to save their soul. The kingdom of God is so simple. We complicate it with so many things that we think we need in order to come into the presence of the Lord. He's looking for a pure heart. I give you one more example from New York State, where I live.
New York, Miami, Boyan.
more than 100 years ago. I don't know when. I don't remember the dates. Finney, it was almost 200 years ago. Another move of God. They gave it a name. I don't remember the name. Finney. The man's name was Finney. He grew up about 30 miles from where I was born. One day the man was in the city of Rome, New York. And there was a man that owned a textile factory that wanted him to visit the factory with him. Now, Brother Finney was a man whose heart was turned to the Lord. There was a mighty power of the authority of God in this man's life. The man was known to go out in the woods, in the forest, and spend days before the Lord, just seeking the Lord. You know, brethren, when there is a move of God, somebody has paid the price. Somebody paid a price. So Brother Finney was walking down through this factory. And he would approach the factory and the woman would be tending the machine. And as Brother Finney would go by, she would get down on her knees and begin to cry and begin to weep before the Lord. Finney never said a word. Next machine, the same thing happened. Next machine, man down on his face, down on his knees before the Lord. You see, it was like the presence of Jesus was coming down through the factory. The owner of the factory said, "We might as well close the factory. There's no point in going on with business today." And there were taverns and places that served alcohol that were in the area, and they made fun of the man. And you know what? Before Finney left that area, there was not a tavern and not a bar and not a pub that was open anymore. God closed them all down. You know what? You follow the Lord and He will close down all the unrighteousness around you. Seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, and God will deal with His enemies and with your enemies. It is that simple. You won't have to whip him up, the Spirit of God. He will come like the latter rain. Hallelujah. Well, maybe I have a message for you today. Can we turn to the book of Genesis? Do I have enough time, brother?
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 12, I think. I have to nail down my pages here because they blow around. Chapter 12. Verse 1. Are you ready? Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. How many of you believe that we could consider Abraham among the sons of God? How many of you people believe that you can be among the sons of God? I hope to see every hand. You can be among the sons of God. I'm glad to see the sisters have their hands up too. Amen.
Amen.
Brethren, we are not just going to settle for being children. We are going to be sons. Sons mean mature ones. So Abraham had to come into the place of sonship in a process of the dealing of God. God arranged the circumstances in his life. God gave him the instructions of how God wanted him to react to these things. And Abraham chose how he was going to obey. Now, if you study the life of Abraham, you can determine that there were several tests that God put Abraham through. I will say four, but I'm sure I can find more than four. But I'm going to talk about four today. So the first test was here in this verse that we read. Get out of your country. Get away from your kindred and from your father's house. Country, kindred, father's house. Now, if you go to the chapter just before this,
sa
you find that they were in a place called Haran. And it was in Haran that Abraham's father, Terah, died. So you see, they started off in the place of called Ur of the Chaldeans. Come out of your country. Come out of your father's house. And come out from your kindred. So they moved part way. But he took his father with him. And he took his kindred with him. You see, he took Lot with him. Now, when you study the relationships here of Abraham's house, you find that this family was very, shall we say, somewhat intermarried. Lot, as I recall, I forget the detail here now, but Lot had married, I believe, his uncle's daughter or something like that. Very close relative. Abraham married his half-sister. And I know one of the sisters here have told us that the Filipino people are very close-knit in their families. But not as close as this. These people always married their nephew or their niece or their cousin or so they had a very tight-knit family. But there were things in that family that God wanted to separate Abraham from. For example, his father was an idol maker. And we see that when God searched out the hearts of this family, he found something in the heart of Abraham that he believed he could deal with. God didn't call to Abraham's father. The call did not go to his nephew Lot. The call went to Abraham himself and Sarah his wife. And from this calling, God intended to test Abraham to see whether he would completely and fully obey him. So the first call was to leave. Do you believe God could ever call you to leave? To leave the place of your nativity? You see, if I would never have left the place of my nativity, I would still be how many thousand miles away? 6, 7, 8,000? And I would still be practicing the religious things of my family, my brothers, my sisters, my father, my mother. And I would probably be saved. I would be baptized in water. But I would know nothing of the message of the kingdom of God. I would be practicing the, shall we say, rituals that my family has practiced for perhaps hundreds of years. I am so glad that God caused me to leave the traditions of my family and my nativity. You know, I think that I was probably a very stubborn person about leaving things behind. There was something in my inner man that made me very loyal to these things of my background. And God had to do some very serious shaking in my life . He had to practically rip my life apart in order to get my attention, in order to put His kingdom in me. I was one who would hold on fast and tight. So the first thing that happened to me after I finished my college was that God sent me nearly 4,000 miles away to the state of Alaska. And there I found no one in the whole state that practiced the kind of religion that my family had. And for 5 years, I had to seek God in another way. But still, I fought and resisted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When He allowed me to come back to New York, He did not allow me to go back to the place that I was born. He made me live 100 miles away. And there He continued to shake me and to strip me. And it was there that He finally introduced me to the message and the word that we're preaching today. Five finally I was open to have my mind that I could see and that I could hear and that I could comprehend what the message of the kingdom of God was all about. And so Abraham had to go through some very difficult things in his life in order to, for God to bring him to the place where he could call him his son. And so you see, sometimes when we get the word of the Lord as to what he expects, we begin to obey, but we only obey part way. And so Abraham partly obeyed. He left Ur. He went to Haran. But that isn't where God wanted him to go. And that is, he didn't want his father to come with him. And so they wasted years in Haran waiting for the old man to die. You know, sometimes you wonder, why did God wait until Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham was 100 years old to fulfill the promise that he gave to him? You can't blame God for that. Abraham wasted the time. And so finally when Terah died, finally they departed. It says in verse 4 here, Genesis 12, so Abram, he's still Abram here, departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Finally, they're on the move again. Finally, Abraham has left his country. Finally, he has separated from his father. But he still hasn't separated from his kindred, has he? So let's look in Genesis, the 13th chapter, I think it is. And maybe I won't read the whole thing, but we'll just talk about what's here. In the second verse, I think, let's take the first two verses. Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold.
Verse 2.
something funny. I've heard some of these prosperity preachers preach about Abraham. Have you heard any prosperity preachers, brother? You have? Yeah. They tell you that God wants you to become rich like Abraham. Yeah. Do they remember to read you the verses from Hebrews? That says that Abraham dwelt in tents. They forget about that part, huh? No, they want to live in mansions. Yeah. Why did Abraham choose to live in tents? Do you know why? Lot didn't live in a tent, did he? Not for long. Well, let's get to that here in a minute. We'll find out why Lot wanted to live in the city and Abraham didn't. So they were very wealthy, and Lot became very wealthy too. And they had much cattle. And there was not enough room for the cattle of Abraham and the cattle of Lot in the same place. So Lot said to, or Abraham said to Lot, "Lot, we're brothers. We can't fight like this. You take one side, I'll take the other side." "Lot, you choose first." Do you see that Abraham was not trying to get riches? He gave the best choice to Lot. And Lot chose the plain of Jordan. And the last thing you hear about Lot living in a tent is that he set his tent to face Sodom. That means that every time they came out of the tent, they were looking straight at Sodom. So you see that Lot had a different vision than Abraham had. The vision of Lot was for the city of Sodom and the riches that he could have and the big house that he could have in Sodom and the place of influence and the position in the city that he could have in politics. That was Lot's vision. But But Hebrews says that Abraham was looking for another city. Another city.
Looking for another city.
Abraham was looking for another city. What city was Abraham looking for? What kind of a city was he looking for? He was looking for a spiritual city, wasn't he? He was looking for Mount Zion. He was looking for the city of the living God. You see, if you want to follow Lot, you might end up in the city of religion. If you want to follow after Abraham, none of these things will satisfy you. These natural things, that's not what I'm looking for. Building a big house to worship God, that's not going to satisfy me. I'm looking for the city that Jesus Christ built. I'm looking for the city that has the living stones. I'm looking for the city that I'm one of the stones. I'm looking for the real dwelling place of God. See, Abraham didn't know as much about the kingdom as we know today. And yet he knew that he wasn't finding it down in these natural things. God had given him all kinds of wealth, and it still wasn't what he was looking for. And so there came a time when he had to obey the part where God had called him to separate from his kindred. You know, if your kindred does not have the vision that God has given you, they will try to hold you back. They will call you. They will cry to you. You cannot leave the tradition of our fathers. We must follow the old religious traditions. And if you compromise, it's only going to hold you back further from coming into the fullness of the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, Bert did some drawings here when we were down at the hotel and when we were in the other meeting over at Brother Raymer's place. Drawings of the tabernacle. Outer court.
Ang atong night out record.
Holy place, most holy place. God's goal for us is to come all the way in. How many of you are all the way in already? Good, I'm glad I didn't see anybody's hands. Oh, I did. Well, anyway, I'm not all the way in. God wants us into the Holy of Holies. He wants us where the overshadowing presence of the Lord is so strong. That I would fall on my face before Him. I've had some little visits and I've had some little visions of that place. But I'm not living there all the time. And I believe that God gave Abraham some visions of that place. And so the second test, departing from your kindred, was finally accomplished. It could have been done without strife and without quarreling. If Abraham had obeyed 100% the first time. Abraham, just you and Sarah, leave Ur of the Chaldeans now. No, he had to take all his father's house with him. Take all his relatives with him. But they weren't the ones God called. So, the first one is to leave. And the second one is to separate. How many of you know that we have to separate ourselves from the things of this world? There must be a separation. But God has to work that separation willingness in our heart. Abraham heard the call. I believe he understood what God expected. But his love of his family, his love of his father, his love of his nephew Lot, you see, Lot's father had died very young. And I believe that Abraham became like a father to him. He was really an uncle. But I think he was an uncle in the sense that you use of people who aren't really your uncle.
Onya,
And so it was like his son in a way. And so God allowed this next circumstance, this trial to come in, so that he would separate Abram from his nephew.
So mo ko na lang ipanginabuhi sa Dios na managkasumpakit ang ilang mga katawhan aron nga magkabulag sila.
Well, we come to another chapter in Abram's life.
Anito sa ikaduhang kapitulo maitungod sa kinabuhi ni Abraham.
And over in chapter 15,
sa Genesis kapitulo 15,
let's read a few verses here. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Exceeding great reward. The man was already as rich as anybody needed to be. What more reward could God be for him? And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. How many of you believe that Abraham is about to face another test? Amen.
Amen.
So, we go over to chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. So Sarah had a good idea. How they were going to help God out. You see, if you remember the word that we read in the previous chapter, God had not been specific with Abraham, only said that the seed was going to come from your own bowels. And it seems to me that if I would hope that if I had been Abram at this point, I would have asked God to be a little more specific about that. Lord, you mean Sarah and I.
Sarah and I.
But he didn't ask that question, did he? I believe God would have answered him. But it left the question open. And I believe it left their imaginations open as to how they were going to help God out. Do you believe God really needs our help? But he didn't need their help now, did he? He didn't need their good ideas about how to fulfill his promise to them. And so, you know what the good idea was? It wasn't such a good idea. And so they sent Hagar in to Abram. And Hagar conceived. And she brought forth a child of flesh. And this child and this woman turned out to be not the plan of God. The woman became rebellious towards Sarah, and the child began to persecute the son that finally came to Abram and Sarah. And so the next test of Abraham was to put out the bondwoman and the son of the bondwoman. You see, here again, the situation that he had was really of his own doing. Brethren, have you ever messed up your life? Have you ever made a very bad mistake in your life? And you ended up with a bondwoman and the son of a bondwoman in your circumstances? You understand what I mean? And you know, God could just quickly deliver you from that circumstance. But he leaves it go. He lets it go. And it goes on, and it goes on. Until you are so sick of the thing of your flesh. You are so sick of pursuing the things of flesh. That you are finally ready to give your life completely, totally to Jesus Christ and His kingdom. And finally, God has an answer for you. Put out the bondwoman. Let's look over in Galatians chapter 4 for a minute. think it's in verse 22.
Versículo 22.
Verse 22. For it is written that Abram had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman.
Ang kasulat na nagrasa ng si Abraham ay duha ka anak na lalaki. Ang usa anak sa ulipon ng babae o ang usa anak sa babae ng gawas na.
Do you know that if you follow Satan, you end up in bondage? If you obey him, you become his slave. Following the way of rebellion, disobedience, only brings you into bondage. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Verse 23. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Now he's specifically talking to those who want to follow after law. Last year at this time, we were in a place with people that wanted to follow after law. They wanted to keep natural Sabbath. And they added many, many, many more laws to that that were not even found in the Bible. And Paul is saying that this is what we're talking about. You can get into a situation in religion where you are the son of a bond woman. Because you see, a woman speaks of a type of church. There is a church of bondage. Keeps people from being free. But the son of the free woman, let's read this, verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, what does he mean by Jerusalem, which is above? You see, there's a heavenly Jerusalem and there's a natural Jerusalem.
Atong
Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So where are you going to expect your persecution to come from? The son of the bond woman. The religion of law, the religion of bondage. They are the ones that are going to be interested in persecuting you. Amen.
Amen.
So how do we deal with it? Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bond woman and her son. You can't keep this woman in your house. You can't keep that family of bondage in your house with you. Abram, you're never going to come to sonship as long as you keep Hagar and Ishmael in your house. Your house has to be cleaned up. For the son of the bond woman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So Abram came to the place of this third test. First, he had to leave. He had to separate. He had to put out. And now it's just Abram and Sarah and Isaac. And now there will be no more problems. No more tests from God. It's all over with, Lord. I've had enough tests now. Okay, Lord, I've done everything you want me to do. I'm ready for glory now. I'm not going to have any more troubles, right, Lord? You're not going to ask anything more out of me. Oh, but son, I have this one problem with you yet.
Oh,
you love this son that I gave you so much? Oh yes, Lord, I love Isaac. He's such a sweet boy. Yeah, he wasn't like Ishmael, even though I loved Ishmael. Abram? Yes, Lord. I want you to take your son. Your only son. Let me see if we can read it here. I think it's in chapter 22. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, and the word should be test, Abraham. And said unto him, Abram, and he said, Behold, here I am. Abram heard the call of God one more time. Have you heard the call of God?
Amen.
Has God ever spoken to you? Does He always say nice things? Sometimes He has difficult things to say to you, doesn't He? One time, I won't say when, one time I said to the Lord, couldn't you come to me sometime and not have to scold me and tell me what's wrong in my life? Can't I hear you sometime when you're just telling me how good I am? And but you're always telling me about things I need to change. Things I need to overcome. Things I need to put off in my life. But then, of course, I'm not about 113 or so, which was about Abraham's age at this time. So maybe we will come to that place. And so, where were we here? And he said, verse 2, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, Isn't that interesting that God said, Your only son, Isaac? But God, I had another son. No, you see, Abram, I told you to send that one away. You loved him too. But you see, now God is calling Isaac his only son.
makita din nga ang gipangandrigid sa Dios gamay si siya ang buktong anak ni Abraham.
In the perfect will and plan of God, Isaac was to be his only son.
Ang tinguma o pangandrigid sa Dios nga si Isaac ang buktong anak na mahatag ng Abraham.
So take your only son. Whom thou lovest. Whom thou lovest. God didn't call Abram to this when Isaac was newborn. I'm sure Sarah loved the baby when he was born. Sarah had carried that baby for 9 months in her own body. And I'm sure she loved the child as soon as he came out into the world. But God waited until the child was 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. And Abram had developed a real love relationship with this young man. Abram had taught him everything that he could about the Lord. I believe Abram had come to the place where he believed that he and Sarah would have no more children. Whom thou lovest. And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Sometimes I have three backup plans. You know, you have to go to a certain place at a certain time. Well, Brother Raymer is going to take me with his car. But maybe I know that Brother Raymer's car doesn't run too good. It isn't very dependable. And so I'm thinking, if his car doesn't run, I need to call somebody else. I think I'll call them now and say, brother, if Raymer can't take me, will you take me? Well, then I begin thinking, well, that fella isn't always reliable either. I think I'll call the taxi company and I'll find out for sure if they could pick me up at a certain time, and I really need to be at the airport at precisely that time. Has no more backup plan to have a son. If he gives Isaac to God, there will be no other son. I think sometimes God waits until we have no more backup plan. Then we have to depend on Him. So they went off with two more young men, two more servants. Abraham saw Mount Moriah far away. Told the two servant boys, you wait here. My son and I are going to sacrifice up on the mountain. They came up to the mountain. Isaac is looking around. Father, we have the wood. We have the fire pot. We have a knife. Where are we going to get a sacrifice? Son, it's you. I'm going to have to give you to the Lord now. You remember, son, I have taught you everything about the promise of the Lord. For many years, God has brought us through, and He has always made provision for me. Son, will you trust me now? Will you trust God now? But Father, how is He going to do this? Son, I don't have any idea how He's going to do it. All I know is this is what He told me to do. Maybe He'll raise you up from the dead. But son, will you agree with me that we're going to obey the Lord 100% in this? Now, can you imagine Ishmael submitting himself to this? If this boy were 13 or 14 years old, and his father were 113, 114, surely that boy could have overpowered or outran his father. You know, when you read the life of Isaac, you don't find that Isaac had to go through some of these same things that Abraham had to go through. I believe that Isaac somewhat benefited from the experience of his father and from his own submission under the hand of God at a very early age. Isaac. You know, when you are children, and there are children here today, are there not? How many children are listening to us today? Children. Are you listening, children? If you will submit yourself to the Lord at this time in your life, it will save you a lot of troubles later in your life. And so Isaac allowed Abraham to tie him up. Tie his hands, tie his feet. And lay him on top of the altar of burnt offering. Abraham raised his hand with a knife. Fully intending that he was going to have to slay his only son. But his ears were also open to hear the angel of the Lord call from heaven. And so you see, Abraham had said to Isaac, God will provide. And so you see, Isaac became a type of Jesus Christ. The son who was obedient unto death. Amen. Jesus laid his life down as a lamb. Without fight, without opening his mouth. And God made the type way back there. Amen. Well, God bless you.
Amen.
Low to the ground before the one you are worshiping.
I heard one man describe worship once as making himself as small as possible before the Lord. The worship can be at any time. It doesn't have to be when you're in the church building. You can worship the Lord as you're going about your daily business. The other thought on that is that the Bible mentions in many places that we are to magnify the Lord. And the word magnify means to make large, make big. So in reference to oneself, we make the Lord much bigger than ourselves. I'm thinking of a scripture. It's in Psalm 40. And it's Psalm 40, verse 16. I'll read it, and then you can read it. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And there's a couple points in that scripture I'd like to just bring out. The first one is those that seek thee. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The second part is, let such as love thy salvation. Do we love the salvation of the Lord? Are we continually pressing in to work out that salvation? How many of you know that salvation is not a one-time experience? Salvation is a process. And the process of salvation is working ourselves up into a higher level in the Spirit of God and knowing and becoming more like God. Our brother shared how the salvation experience corresponds to the furniture in the tabernacle of Moses.
Sama
the tabernacle, each piece of furniture in the tabernacle represents a step in our salvation that is leading us further and further upward to Christ. So it's not something that we can do once or once a week. Those who love the salvation of the Lord are saying in their hearts continually, "Let God be magnified." Let myself be made smaller. Yet let the will and the desires of my flesh decrease. And let the presence of the Lord God, Christ, within me increase. And it's interesting that in the Psalms that verse is repeated word for word in two different, I don't remember where the other location is, but it's in the Psalms in two different locations. This is something that David, the psalmist, was familiar with. So we need to magnify Christ in our lives. And I'm thinking about how we do that. How do we lay ourselves down and become more like Christ, get more of the nature of Christ within us? You know, we see, we operate on a physical level. We see natural things. We see this building. We see trees. We see various things in a physical level. On a natural plane. But there is a spiritual plane which is every bit as real as what we see here in the natural. And it is God's desire that we raise up and begin to see and to function in that spiritual plane. Now, the devil also operates on a spiritual plane. And the devil's operations are very real. We know his operations are very real. And yet somehow we seem to not be able to believe that we can operate, or that the operations of
God on the spiritual plane are somehow not as real. But God's desire for us as sons is to rise up into that level and begin to move and do His will. As we grow in Christ, as we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads us into Christ and brings us into a higher plane. We'll begin to see, and the Lord will begin to move us in that realm of the Spirit. It's not something that will just happen if we wait for it. It takes a surrender of ourself. Our will, our desires, our emotions must be made low. We must decrease. And when we decrease, Christ within us will increase. My flesh to may be made nothing. And Christ within me to be everything. And that's pretty much all I had to share, right? So, praise the Lord.
When Brother David started to talk about worship, just reminded me of a few things. Jesus met the woman at the well, and this was in John chapter 4. So I want to turn there. Jesus had talked to the woman and told her about her life. And she recognized something about him. Let's read verse 19. Verse 19, the woman says unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Worship. And the devil said unto him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it.
Yeah, but I know kita kanila na dili mahimo nga musimba misa sanga.
Gitaro will be Easter. Diba na Easter Sunday?
Yeah, no.
Easter. God is
Easter.
Semana Santa.
Semana
Santa. Ah, kana kung Semana Santa di ay nagsimba gihapon kan ni ana sa Easter God. Kana kana nagsimba kag mga bituon ba? Mao di ay pudna na ay mga buktas-abot nila ni na mga meaning.
I tell you, it is not of God. Easter.
Sultian ko ka mga dilit kana Dios.
Easter.
Easter.
Easter is not of God.
Oh. Dilit na iya sa Dios.
Now, I'll just tell you just a little bit about my worship of Christmas, my worship of Easter when I was growing up.
Sultian ko ka mo sa akong kagalingon, may tungod sa akong pagsimba sa Christmas o sa pagsunod niya, niya ng Easter.
I was not a Christian, and yet I kept Christmas. I was not a Christian, and yet I kept Easter.
Sa una, sa walang pagsiyama ma luwas, nagsunod-sunod po dahil siya, anak.
It was something that we did because it was tradition.
Dunay daghan nilang gibuhat, giandam, tungod kay kini, tradition man God.
Everybody in town, that's what they did. They kept Christmas, they kept Easter, they had Easter egg hunts.
Oh, mao na ang ilang ginabuhat, bisan pa sa kakaroon, na ay sa Easter, na ay sa naigasa para Christmas, o na.
We had a Christmas tree.
Na po ilang Christmas tree. Nagdaulog lagi.
We thought it was the thing to do, to worship God.
Usa po gyapon ka na sa pagsimba. Makinahanan, masayo kita, may tumot sa Dios.
But in the book of Jeremiah, God says that having a Christmas tree is a heathen practice.
O ang libro sa Jeremiah, nagkanayon nga ang pagbato ni Ana nga mga butanga labi na sa Christmas tree mo'y pagsimba og lain nga mga Dios.
So there's a lot of holidays that are involved in worship that really we should not participate in.
Naghan kayo mga gitaulog ng mga holidays din sa kalibutan nga wala gayon gitugot sa Dios.
But when it comes to praise and worship of God, God says this is how you do it and don't do it this way.
Oh, kung wani kita sa pagsimba sa Dios, doon ay daghan ng mga buta na matudlo ka na to.
So I just want to look at Psalm 150. We can read that one.
Itong basahan din sa Psalm 150.
Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. I read 1 and 2.
Daiga ang Dios diha sa iyang templo, daiga ang iyang pagkagamhanan diha sa langit, daiga siya tungod sa gamhanan mga butang nga iyang gihimo, daiga siya ang makagagahom sa tanan.
Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, and praise him with the psaltery and harp.
Daiga siya pinagi sa mga trumpeta, daiga siya dinuyugan sa mga alpa o sa mga lira.
Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. You know, Brother Bert's son has a trumpet, and he praises God with the trumpet. And you've seen the brethren here with the guitar, the stringed instrument. And how they praise the Lord on the stringed instrument. We've got some sisters with tambourines, the timbrels. And they praise the Lord with that. And dance. Praise the Lord with dance. And so sometimes we bring things into our praise and worship that God didn't say to you. And that becomes a problem. Because we're not worshiping God when we use certain things that God did not say to you. So, someone else is taking the praise and the worship that should be going to God. Everybody with me? Okay. So, all right. So the only thing that we have read and we did not see listed in here is a drum.
Wala kuno din ha malista ang kumbo.
The Lord does not lift the drum as an instrument to praise Him.
Oh, wala kuno malista din ang drum aron gamiton nimo sa pagdayeg sa iya.
So we don't want to praise Him with the drum. We want to praise Him with the instrument with which He gave us.
Mao kuno atong gamiton sa pagdayeg kanang gisulti sa Ginoo. Pero ang one gram kay wa matine, di na to gamiton.